This episode of the Last Drinks podcast is sponsored by Zecca Skin. Zecca Skin specializes in high-quality men's skincare products that not only benefit the health of your skin, but also support men's mental health. Use discount code LASTDRINKS25 at checkout to get 25% off all Zecca Skin products. And if you wish to support the show, you can now donate via Buy Me A Coffee. That's www.buymeacoffee.com/lastdrinks. All donations will go to keeping the show running and thriving. We greatly appreciate all the support we've received from our fans and followers. Now sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the Last Drinks podcast. Well, this is the Last Drinks podcast. I'm Will Hitchens. And this is Rhiannon O'Loughlin. Hello.
Yo, yo.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Very well. How are you?
I'm amazing today. And I was just saying, this is, there's three shots in this. So I am highly caffeinated and ready to go.
Ready to go. Ready for a little chat about lots of different things.
All the things.
You have a few different things that you do. Did you want to, I guess, describe who Rhiannon is?
Yeah, cool. I am a multifaceted woman.
Yeah.
Cool. So I am a hypnotherapist mindset coach. So essentially I'm moving people through past traumas to be the best versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I found, there was this, a commonality between people that they're all seeking some form of love, right? Mm-hmm. So love within, love external, love within, and, you know, love of a partner.
Yeah, yeah.
So 3 years ago I was like, man, I want to create an event to bring people together. So it's like a singles event. So then I started the singles events about 3 years ago at the Henchman in Miami, based on some science stuff with pheromones, et cetera. I'll go into a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then from then I was just, it was a cool thing, cool concept, where I was doing that regularly. And just recently I wanted to mix things up and make it a little bit more detailed, because what I found is people were getting inebriated. We're on the Last Drinks podcast. People were getting inebriated and having one night stands but not making real connections. So I was like, all right, cool, what can I do? So then I've come up with this concept of modern blind dating. So what I found with my business and what I do, I'm really good at reading people and I know the right questions, and without getting too serious, but enough questions to go, cool, you both are based on a good match from your values and also, you know, the external stuff. So about 2 months ago, I launched Modern Blind Dating, where, yeah, I set people up on blind dates, which is a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a new, I mean, the blind dating thing has kind of, was kind of more of a thing, I guess. You remember in the 90s of like those people would submit videotapes of like, doing that sort of thing. I guess that, is that a similar sort of thing now, that they submit, all right, I'm looking for a date sort of thing to you, and then you match them up with somebody?
Yeah, I mean, look, think about this digital age. Try to say that fast 3 times. No way. You know, we have a plethora of things to you know, attain, where, you know, dating websites, sites, all the things. But it's like you're not really making true connections. So, yeah, it's been on for years. It's not like this is no news. It's not like love's just been this new thing, that new age thing. We're like, I want to seek love. Everyone wants it, right? So now all I'm doing is you sign up to my website. There's you get a PDF sent to you, and then you fill out the questions, and then you get a call from me, and I go through a little bit more stuff of, like, you know, the in-depth questions, and then I match you based on, compatibility, not just like, hey, you look good, let's do it.
Yeah, let's just mash you two together and see what happens.
That's it. Are you single, Will?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, how long have you been single for?
It's probably been, I mean, my last relationship technically was probably when I was in my early 20s, so it's been over 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I put a poll on my Instagram yesterday.
That was
supposed
to bring up, yeah, because I did respond to that and said over 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I pulled it up this morning, and I think it was 53% had all had hit over 5 years.
Yeah.
Which, because I'm almost 6 years, and I just thought I was a minority.
Yeah.
But it seems like you and I are a majority.
Yeah. I mean, in the time for me, a lot of that was back when I was drinking. So I kind of attach it. Well, that was probably the reason, because I probably just wasn't available for something like that, because I was already in a relationship with substance abuse.
Yeah.
And then I guess the others, like, I guess I have been dating, but nothing's really got to, to the point of a relationship. So probably issues with me, maybe, you know, disconnections with people I've been with. That's kind of the road that I've ended up on.
Yeah. Look, it's interesting you say that, because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was like, hey, I really think that I do need a drink to go out on a date because it makes me feel more comfortable. And I guess, you know, if the story you're telling yourself from back in the day was, well, yeah, I was meeting people when I was inebriated, well, then it kind of makes you believe that that's what you need.
Yeah.
So it's almost like maybe you need to sign up to my website and reintroduce yourself to the dating scene. Plug.
Nah. There's a plug right there.
Look, nah, that wasn't really a plug. But, but really, though, it's like, imagine if you've lost all this weight, right? So you used to be heavily overweight and you had all your old clothes and then you've lost all this weight. You don't try to wear your old clothes, right?
No.
You try to put on the new stuff and make yourself feel good. So, new and improved will, what's it look like? And let's step into that.
Yeah.
And that sometimes can be a bit of a fear realm for most people. Mm. And that's okay. Like, it's normal.
Yeah. Well, I've certainly with that example of like losing the weight, when I was the heaviest I was, even when I was drinking, was like 120 kilos.
Crazy. And what are you now?
I don't know what I'm at now, but like when I started exploring health and fitness, like it went from 120 to like 93 and then was going back and forth over 100. But that was when I was like in the gym quite a bit. So I guess a lot more of it was muscle.
So
I had physically changed, but then mentally I could still picture myself as that fat, insecure, drunken pest.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Mm. So where people might be, oh, you look like this, so you must be doing well in this area. It's just like, oh, no, not really. Like, I guess because, it's how you perceive it in a way. Yeah.
Well, it's like anything. You look at something. There was a meme ages ago. It was like, the longer you stare at your photo, the uglier you think you are because you just keep looking at it, right?
Yeah.
You see yourself every day. We don't see the little micro changes. It's when you catch up with someone that you haven't seen in a long time and they're like, holy shit, who are you? You look fantastic. And you're like, oh, really? Because maybe that day you got a little pimple and you're like, oh my God, this pimple on my face is, so annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
No one notices the pimple. Mm. They see the big change in you. So
I
think it does take the daily acts to remind ourselves of how far we've come, right? Mm. But I feel like, we put a lot of pressure on getting to a certain point and then we get to that point and then we want something else, right? So it's all about that theme of being present, and it's something that I've had to really teach myself. And I'm no guru. I mean, I essentially am, but I'm still learning every day.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes me a good coach, is because I practice what I preach. So oftentimes people aren't present enough in their state to go, oh, I'm really proud of myself today. Fucking look at me. Or you're the pants that don't fit anymore. You're like, wow, like how cool is that?
How cool is that? Yeah. Your body, you may not notice because, you're looking at yourself every day and you're not really seeing the changes. But then, if you're putting on clothes, you're like, well, this is looser. And this is not as tight as it used to be. This fits a bit different. So there obviously must be changes happening.
Yeah.
And then even with you're working towards a goal, you're going up a mountain, then you get up to the top of the mountain. It's just like, oh, I'm up here, now what?
Exactly. But
then usually there's another mountain on the other side to climb.
Yeah. 100. And, I think on that topic too, same with, giving up alcohol, you're in this state when you're drinking, right?
Mm.
And so oftentimes when we're addicted to something, it's based off a trauma, right?
Yeah.
So now we're drinking to fill the void of whatever we're feeling.
Mm.
So the void is at the time it's so obvious. You're like, well, I'm drinking alcohol. Let's pretend this is alcohol. I'm drinking alcohol. So if I let that go, does that mean I'm better?
Mm.
And it's definitely a big step, right?
Yeah.
But now you've given up alcohol and the trauma is still there.
Yeah.
So now we're like, okay, well, what else do I need to do? Like, do I have to give up something else? Instead of just going, hey, what's the source? This analogy, it's like when we have a remote control and you're trying to go to the settings on your TV, the button on the remote is source, because you're going to the source to get to the problem, to change the lighting, all the things, right? So moving into how we digress in this conversation about coaching is, I get people to their source. Regardless of whatever the thing is, you got to go to the source to treat it, and then all the things kind of work itself out.
Yeah.
So we can go into that source of yourself maybe a little bit later on, but you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of, I guess, the idea I had with bringing you here today. I guess use me as the crash test dummy in a sense of like, we'll see where that goes, because I'm not sure what will come up for me, and that's always already I'm just like, oh god,
you're like, shit. Look, we're not gonna get too crazy today. Sometimes it's a question, and this is the beauty of human interaction, right? I might say one thing to you today that could be so simple and literally change your whole trajectory of life. it's, and that's just, yeah, it, we don't have to, I don't have to get you down and go like into your psyche and be like, oh, you know what, as a kid, I mean, we could,
yeah,
but like, we don't have to, it can be so simple, right? Yeah. So don't stress. I got a little voodoo doll of here of you. It's like really not a big deal. I stole some of your hair before, so we're good, man. We're good.
There's plenty of it around in this apartment. I mean, I've got a lot of it, so. But I think, because, I mean, what I wanted to mention, because you mentioned about your dating events. Mm. I don't know if you know this. So I've talked on this podcast and I've been interviewed on a few others, and I talked about one of my issues with quitting drinking was the social aspect, was just being around people drinking and being okay with it. Because like when I got out of rehab, I was sober for 2 years and my social interaction was just barely any.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went overseas, relapsed, went back out, got sober again. That was before the start of COVID. So I was, there wasn't really much chance for a lot of sort of social interaction anyway, because we're all locked in our homes.
Mm.
So then a year after that, then I moved to Broadbeach with a guy similar age to me. And then I thought, okay, well, you avoided it for 2 years. You still drank. So you're going to have to do something different. So I was like, all right, well, you're going to have to just dive straight in.
Mm.
And what I did was, it was Valentine's Day 2021, and it was, I believe, I went to...
My event?
Yeah.
Oh my, what?
I'm fairly certain that it was, yeah, it was one of the, it was 2021, yeah, I think you were hosting it.
I was, yeah. I had the red hair back then.
Yeah, so that's another,
That was a good event, that was a good event.
Was that one of the first ones, or was that,
No. I had started it the year before, but that was sold out. Yeah, so we had max capacity, and we had people at the end like trying to like, can I come in? And I was like, man, I got no room left.
Got a room, yeah.
Actually, I remember, because what we do is we give everyone a free shot of a fireball at the start, like to loosen up the mood, you know? And I think I went to give you a shot, now off memory, and you were like, nah, I'm not drinking.
Mm.
And I was like, oof. I was a little thrown. I was like, fuck. All right. I mean, cool, man. Like, awesome. But I was like, yeah, sweet. All right, we'll pass it and I'll have it. So, oh my God. Yeah.
Because I went on my own and I was just like, oh, fuck, this is rough. And yeah, so I think I just eventually sat down with somebody who was sitting on his own. It was just another guy, and just started chatting with him. And then eventually just that first bit of just uncomfortableness that you just push through and get to the other side. And then you start, you know, obviously we start doing the whole speed dating thing.
Mm.
I mean, the observation I had was the amount of people sitting in front of them, and they were like double, triple, quadruple parked with drinks. And
then
for me, looking at that, to go like, oh, these people are nervous as well. They're just using alcohol for a bit of liquid courage. So,
It's interesting though. I mean, like, when we think about, you know, growing up, all the things, it's just a norm. Mm. It's like eating food. It's like breathing air. People go, you just have, the liquid drink of courage, right? So, yeah, to be an outsider like yourself, an outsider perspective in that space of not drinking, yeah, I can imagine it would have been very, like, confronting, right? Mm. But I love the thought of the placebo effect. You know, there's a lot of pretend drinks out there that are, you know, the non-alcoholic beverages, which seems to be quite common these days, right?
Mm.
Sometimes it's like, you know, even when a smoker is giving up cigarettes, I had those like weird vapes back in the day before everyone vapes these days. But it's like having something to just go, I've got something there, better than water, and you've got a bit of a taste. Because, I mean, I haven't tried an alcoholic beverage, but, you know, my best friend Frankie, as you know, she was on your podcast, you know, when she was in her space of when she gave up alcohol, she was having the fake beers. And she's like, it literally tastes like a beer without the alcohol.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it would still kind of like, yeah, I mean, I haven't done it. So did you try that, or where were you at with that? Or did you just go cold turkey, like water? Or
I think originally, because I think it would have just been soda water and lime. And then I had all these dilemmas with, because if I ordered lime and soda, the vodka bottle would usually be reached for. Like, no, that. So then I was like, okay, you got to swap the words. So you got to say soda water and lime.
Yes.
They give you a weird look and they're like, yeah, that's all I want. Just, so I started with that. And then, I mean, I think I was cautious with the non-alcoholic stuff because, like, for some people that can be too close to the bone.
A trigger.
And a trigger. So, and then I eventually did. And then there were nights, where like old habits don't die. So I'd be having 15, 16 of these like in a sitting. So I'd just be bloated. I wouldn't be drunk. It would just be, I guess, a bloated mess by the end of the evening. But it's an alternative. And it is just this thing of just having something there to hold. And even if it is like a stubby of beer, it's like kind of a camouflage in a sense.
Yeah.
And then even with like soda water and lime, if they've got a lime drink, you know, lime wedge in it, just sits there, and then, you know, you can look like you're just part of the situation. Yeah,
because sometimes that is what people feel uncomfortable with, right? You know, it's like the swap, right?
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day they had none of this, so people just went cold turkey, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's like, in this day and age, the digital age, how can we maneuver ourselves in a space with all the things going on, right? It's not like we can run away from it. We don't live in a cave.
Yeah.
We have to mitigate our lives to go, okay, cool, this is, we're going to be surrounded by it. How can I still live my life? This is my choice to give up alcohol, and good on you. Like that's, and everyone out there who's done it, like, fucking good on you. Like, I'm like, honestly, so proud of you, right? But no, yeah, it's a huge thing. So then we go, cool, all right, now I need to just move through my life and do the thing. So if you got bloated over 16 beers, like fake beers, well, fucking who cares?
Yeah, right.
Not a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't punch 50 cheeseburgers or Big Macs and Maccas and, you know, you got fat again. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a very, like, clear example. Like, we got to go, hey, it's all good, man. It's not like there's no addiction. Like, sometimes I drink way too much coffee. Like I said, this is my, you know, there's three shots in that, and I had a pre-workout and a coffee this morning, right? We all have our vice. We just got to loosen the noose around the neck and just give ourselves a break. People are too hard on themselves. And I've been there. I've been there in all aspects, right? So that's where we go. How do I just be a little less fucking, you know, narky on myself?
Because you were, because I guess I'd like to, you know, ask you what, because you do drink. So what is your, how does alcohol play out in your life, and like, what's your relationship with it?
Yeah, well, interesting to say that. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My mom's an alcoholic. My dad's an alcoholic. My grandfather died of liver cancer, who's an alcoholic. He was an ex-police officer, high in the police force. My brother also drinks a lot of alcohol. And it's funny, like, I don't love alcohol. I do a lot of social events. I like when I'm out. I never drink during the week. It doesn't even, some people say they have a glass of red wine a night. And I'm like, I'd rather like have a chocolate bar or, you know, a fuck ton of food. Like stuff that makes you feel good. I just, it's not even like, I've got alcohol sitting at my house that just sits there.
Yeah.
And on the weekends, if I do, like, I might, again, if I'm going out, but if I'm not, I never drink. So, but I enjoy it when I'm out. And it's really interesting. You know, I was having this, again, another conversation, where when people, there's two types of people. Someone that when they drink, their inhibitions completely go, but then they're a fucktard. You're just like, you are like Jekyll and Hyde. You're completely different.
Yeah.
And then you've got someone else who's just a little bit more frivolous, a little more friendly. Like, and that's me. I'm just like, hey, cool. I don't drink myself to, you know, to a state where I'm like throwing up.
Yeah.
I'm always, you know, I actually said this the other day. I was like, if I was lining up for a club and I had been drinking, you know, 10 vodka lime sodas prior to this, I'd be in the line like, I'm all good, you know, because it's mind over matter. So, yeah, it is a space where I enjoy it, and I feel like I'm very moderate. But, like, to be honest, there are some nights I can drink a lot, but it's for the night, right? So, yeah, mitigating my life to serve its purpose when it is, but it's definitely not something that I'm, big on.
Do you think that the experience you had with members of your family might have had something to do with that as well, like witnessing that environment, you know, because that can be a tough thing to deal with too?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you a story. When I was 17, I used to do this processing job. So I had to get up at like 4:30 in the morning to go to get to this. I had to drive at least an hour to start work at 6:30, right? And there was more than one night my mum was still up and just drunk. And she'd be online dating. Funny, we're talking about the dating scene. I just remember that online. She was online dating and having, getting nowhere with men. And she was just drunk. And I remember her crying on my shoulder. And I'm getting up to go to work. My mum at 17, she's crying on my shoulder like, why didn't they love me? Why didn't they this? And I'm just like, oh, like, fuck it. You know, at the time I was young, I got angry because I was like, man, you're meant to be my mom and you're doing this. And there was this whole thing, like, that's it stemmed from that, the relationship with men, the love, the abuse of things, right? And for me, it's about that control and the choice. So, seeing that, I'm like, never want to be like that. Never want to be like that.
Because you mentioned, I guess, before we started, you talked about, I guess, a good component for you, which, again, is moderation, which I guess for me, like, for someone like me, that's a tough thing to try and grasp because, I mean, like, for drinking for me, there was no, like, and I've said that's what made getting sober easier to accept. I never tried to moderate. Like, I had to be honest with myself. Have you ever tried to moderate? I was just like, no. So, but obviously for other people, if they can make that work for them, go for it. So, yeah, that was... No.
Look, I get it. So I love chocolate. Like, so an example would be my housemate the other day, I was like getting some snacks. And if I'm getting snacks, I'm going hard, right? He goes, can you get me some Ben and Jerry's? And I was like, yeah, sweet. He left the Ben and Jerry's. Like, he just would dabble and then put it in the freezer. Dabble. I'd be like, I can't have any sweets in the house because I will just smash it, right? So the same goes. There's a vice. And I know where that stemmed from because when I was really little, my dad left when I was really young, right? And so there wasn't a lot of love that I was getting. So whenever my mum had met a man, they'd come into the house and they'd buy me lollies. So for that split instant, I was getting this like massive dopamine hit of a sugar rush. And for me, that's what I think love is based on food. So yeah, this is a relationship that I've been having to deal with food. So I get it. I get it.
I'd have the same, with food. Like if I buy like a packet of Oreos, it's just the whole packet's gone. I don't understand these people. Would have a little bit and then put it away. It's just like, I'd sit there and do some work and then just like, no, it's in there. It's in there. I have to fucking go get it.
Literally. Yeah, man. I don't get it. So for me, like, I don't even own peanut butter, you know, like a staple in most people's cupboards, just because it's just this, anything that's really highly palatable, I can't have. So I Monday to Friday, I'm super strict, you know, with my food. And that for me works. Everyone is different. I don't believe in a right or wrong. I believe in what we choose to, what choices we make, as long as it's serving us in a good manner, then do it. And if I can't have something around, that's all good. And I know where it stems from. Does it mean that I've fully gotten rid of it? No. It means that I can hold it in my hand and I know the cause and I go, cool. And that's the power and the beauty of the source.
Yeah.
It's about understanding why and what triggered that. So that's where the work goes into, you know, bringing it back, you know, in a nice, beautiful roundabout way of people, allowing people to understand their why to why we choose to overindulge in any, you know, in any space.
Because I'm trying to think like for myself, if I just have moments of just unease and then it's just ease. I think what we said the other day was choosing a lesser evil. So it's like not like, oh, well, I'll go out and get pissed because, well, my life will fall apart again. So it's like, all right, well, we don't do that anymore. We don't take drugs anymore. So then if food seems to be a coping mechanism for that, then just stuffing myself until I'm sick.
Yeah, look, again, like I said, with the noose around the neck, we really got to be less critical of ourselves. And, you know, I've had little blowouts and I've got to sit there and go, hey, Ree, you know what? You've chosen to do this today. You're going to feel sick tomorrow, but you chose to do it and this is why you did it. Now accept it and fucking move on, right?
Yeah.
You kind of swear, oh, always me. I ate shit yesterday or I had a drink or I had a smoke or whatever it is. You just got to fucking own it and move on. You're human. We're in a human experience. We're not robots and we can't go, well, now that I've made the decision, I'm a better human and I can never fall back. Because, and I say this to my clients too, you're never going backwards, you're just deviating. So you might be like walking along or you might be, okay, here's a good analogy. You're at the airport and you've got the escalators that move you really quick, or you're still going in the same direction people are walking or the escalators. Sometimes you're moving really fast to get to the end destination, or sometimes you're walking or strolling or crawling, or sometimes you stop to look at the time. All right? You're always going forward. As long as we go, we accept it and we go, hey man, it's all good, right? And this is why it's really good to just even have that chat to someone, owning it. If ever I've had a little moment where I've, you know, had a blowout and I felt real shit about it, I'll message a friend. And it took me a long time to do that, just to go, hey, I'm actually not asking for your advice right now. I don't need your advice. I need you to be my verbal wall at the moment and just hear me out, because essentially you're releasing it and then you're going, oh, okay, cool. I've just owned it. Now you know. I'm going to move on. It's a beautiful form of therapy, and it's free.
That sounds similar to that. I think it was men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and they were talking about how, well, women come to men with, you know, to express some things, and then men are just quick to try and fix it. And it's just, and the idea is, well, no, she doesn't need you to fix it. It's just to listen and just let her blurt it out, so then she can hopefully go off and then deal with it herself or something like that.
I mean, it goes, you know, a dear friend of mine, even he messaged me a couple of weeks ago and he said, I want you to know that I'm actually just using you as a soundboard. I don't need your help. Just to know that you know makes me feel better. And this is where, again, I'm not going to say people go wrong, but people try to change people. And you cannot change anyone unless they choose to step in, right? Yeah. And so sometimes all we're doing is just going, hey, I want you to hear me right now. Because how nice is it to be heard, and how nice is it to be seen?
Yeah.
A lot of the times we don't feel seen and we don't feel heard.
Mm.
People often just go, and they want to answer. So they're thinking about what to answer instead of actually listening.
Mm.
So it takes a lot, and it's a beautiful thing and a beautiful relationship to have someone that just hears you and sees you, right? And this is where a lot of relationships go wrong as well.
Mm.
You know, if we think about stuff in the past, I remember when I first was learning all of my things and I thought, I know how to train, I know how to move. You got to do it like this.
Yeah.
And people are like, fuck off. I just want to lift a bar. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm a coach, man. I can teach you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be taught.
Mm.
So I say this to everyone, unless you're being asked for help, unless you're being asked for help, don't give it. It's just you just offer a hand. Hey, letting you know, if ever you do need any help in the future, just I'm here. Mm. But I see you and it's all good. Like,
yeah, I've had those, yeah, when people are, yeah, they're expressing and then my mind goes like, do they want me to help them? It's just like, I don't know what to do with this situation. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't ask for help because could I just listen? Listening's fine. I could just listen and take it in because, yeah, sometimes you just, I don't know what to do about this situation. Just like,
Yeah, and, you know, even just a nice hug.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of beautiful chemicals that are released in a reciprocated hug, you know, like just an embrace. It's it's nice. Instead of just, you know, I often think, fuck, I love a hug right now. I don't want anyone to hear my things. Mm. And it's not that sometimes the thing that I think I'm having an issue with, I know that I can get through it.
Mm.
And it's not like I'm asking for help. It's just like, oh, I just want to feel supported right now.
Yeah.
How nice is it to feel supported?
Oh, it's a lovely thing.
It is.
And maybe I'll give you a hug after the recording.
Fuck, you better. Absolutely.
Well, I guess we'll get into the work that you do. And you've mentioned that you, with the coaching stuff, you have worked with people with, I guess, substance issues. So what sort of things do you do to help them get on top of it, I guess, in a sense?
You know, again, like I said, the source button on the remote. So, you know, we all have a thing that we're dealing with. And oftentimes clients come to me and their subject is the thing and then it ends up changing, right?
Mm.
So beautiful story about a woman that I coached last year. She, phenomenal. I think, you know, I'm probably going to get the days wrong, but she's at least, as of today, 330 days sober.
Mm.
She's lost over 60 kilos.
Wow.
Yeah, massive.
Wow.
Oh, like her before and afters are fucking phenomenal. Mm. And I just got goosebumps. She's reconnected with her whole family, her kids, her husband. There was many times coming in, she wasn't sure if they were meant to be together.
Mm.
And this growth in this woman, it was phenomenal. But trust me, it never started with alcohol.
Yeah.
It never did. And then she tells me, so she did, so with my clients, I always start with 4 sessions. She ended up being with me for 9, 10 months. In fact, I'm going to see her, she's booking in with me again in 3 weeks just to do a catch back up, you know, where are we at? But her, it was just moving through. It was internal, then it was external. And then I find out about her drinking problem.
Mm.
Because as a coach, I'm not a mind reader. Mm. You come to me and I'm going, okay, this is the thing. Let's problem solve that right together. And then, yeah, when I found out that, I was like, wow. And this, she was having over maybe 2 bottles of wine a night and just doing a business like it was normal, right?
She's like high functioning or?
High functioning. Yeah. And that was like kind of like my mom as well.
Mm.
So I was like, wow. So what I did with her. So again, you know, I did all the things that I would normally do with a client. I go back to the source and we find out because, you know, there was a lot of things that she dealt with, deep, dark things that she dealt with, and we moved through that together. So then when the alcohol thing came up, and it's like, you know, I tell people, sorry, I'm going to digress and come back.
Mm.
You wouldn't go, if you're very overweight and you go, and again, because I used to be a coach, personal trainer, if you want to lose weight, you wouldn't put them on a keto diet the next day. Hey, by the way, you're going to give up all soft drinks and all the things and you're going to go hardcore. It's literally like, let's just the onion effect, onion, you know, pull a layer off. So essentially that's what we did. So until she was ready, she revealed the layer of alcoholism.
Mm.
And then we go, okay, cool. So then what I did with her is, you know, the subconscious mind is beautiful. So I incorporate NLP, which is neurolinguistic programming, in all sessions, but then I always finish with hypnotherapy. So when I knew about that, when she was in the hypnotherapy part, I was just reprogramming her mind in regarding this whole part on alcohol and giving it up. Sometimes it's just repetitive words. So,
yeah.
But then, you know, again, like I say, it doesn't matter. I always say this to my clients. It doesn't matter what I know. If you don't trust me or believe in me, you know, it's not going to work, you know. So there's this beautiful relationship that happens between my clients and I, you know. I don't really market my page. They often find me through friends or social media. And I do want to bring it back to this lady as well, how beautiful it was. I remember the call, she contacted me on Instagram. And so this is how I speak. I'm always here, there and everywhere, but it makes sense, right? she contacted me on Instagram and she was like, I sent a post you did and it resonated with me. I'd love to book a call in with you. And I, you know, did my normal process, made them feel comfortable. She goes, I've got to be honest, I'm so nervous about this call. Mm. And I was like, however I responded to her, I can't fully remember the details, but I said, you know, I'll try to make this as easy as possible. So we had a call that day. She messaged me immediately after. She goes, Rhiannon, you made me feel so comfortable. She goes, in fact, her last therapist was 70 years old and she passed away. So she thought when she passed away, she'd have no one.
Yeah.
So the fact, I just got goosebumps. It makes me really emotional. Like, this is a happy emotions. Like, the fact that she trusted me, and this is an older lady as well.
Yeah.
She's not, you know, not young. She trusted me. And I was like, fuck. And from that day forward, every moment she stepped into, you know, the space of coaching, she showed up. And that's what I said, man. Why she got so much growth, because I've coached a lot of people and everyone moves. Like I said, if we're at the airport and we're talking about that escalator, some people are on the fast track and some people are crawling or walking, but they're still moving forward. This one was just like, she was in a rocket and she was just, and showed up every time. And that's all you could ask for. It takes character. I'd encourage that when if you and I did a session, we're in it together and then you go. I'm not there by your side all the time. You got to step in. Yeah, and that's what she did. And fucking look at her now, like killing life.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And that can be a tough thing, because I guess to have the support of like someone like yourself, if you can get to a comfortable space to where you make all these processes and then having to make the leap of faith, like, all right, well, I think I've given you everything you need. Now you're going to have to utilize that and implement that into your own life. That can be tough thing for even to think about, because you're always just like, oh no yet. It's just
and you know, we are the 5% of the people we hang around. We hear this all the time, right? So if you're, you know, you when you're in a coaching session, you're with someone high vibing and you're learning and you're growing and you're there and you're like, oh, I'm motivated, but then you're stepping back into the space that you were before you started coaching.
Yeah.
So that's even harder. Mm. You know, you could either move out and get rid of all your mates and start fresh and, you know, move to Bali and then you can create a new person, or people don't have that opportunity. Some people do, most people don't. So it does take a lot but you know, I say this as well to all of my clients, you know, as long as it's not 2 a.m. in the morning, I'm like, hey, know that I've got your back. So, you know, between sessions, if you're stuck, because I, you know, there's so much going on in our sessions that we may forget. And I'm like, please just hit me up.
Yeah.
So I'm here, you know, but please use me. Some people do, some people don't. So it's up to you. And that's just me to help them go, okay, let's keep moving. And that's what she did.
Yeah, because I guess like if I was, I've had like, they'll be like, okay, well, you can reach out to me and outside of sessions. I don't think I've ever been someone to do that. Well, I don't know whether it's just because if it's just, oh, well, we're not in session. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to bother them. Like, you can get in that sort of headset with it.
No, I get it. And that's really normal, because we go, I don't want to bring anyone else into my shit right now. I should be stronger than this. Mm. What a weak motherfucker to have to message my coach. That's that. So the brave thing is to go, hey, I'm not feeling good today. I'm feeling a little weak. And that is strength. And so the mind goes, no, you're weak, but you're not, right?
Yeah.
And hey, I've been there too. I've been there. I've had to step into that. Like the food thing, messaging my friend and be like, hey, this is where I'm at. I went ham last night. Not proud of it, but we're here, we're up. I'm gonna have a great session at the gym today.
Yeah.
Right? Turning shit, turning water into wine. wow, what a terrible analogy for the last stream podcast. You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't think of another analogy right now.
Turn it into non-alcoholic wine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Fucking hell.
So, like, I guess if we were, let's say I've come for a session, and how would you operate? How would a sort of session with you go? Like, if mm-hmm. I was the person coming in to get the services from Revacious.
Hey, Revacious. cool question. We will go back. So there's something you're holding on to, right? You know, there's, and we can tell in this conversation we've already had that there's this anxious, heavy feeling on the heart. We're like, okay, I'm not, you've done all these amazing things and we're kind of expecting fireworks. And you're like, I don't see fireworks. What's the go, right? I'm doing all the things on the paper. That looks great, right? So, you know, I'd ask, when did this all begin? So how was the relationship with your family?
Well, I mean, I think it's, I mean, I, to compare, I guess I, for me, it would be like to compare it to other families of people I've met. I'd say it's pretty, it sounds pretty good and pretty solid. Parents are still together after, I think it's 38 years. You know, our family's pretty simple. It's not, you know, step people, like lots of, like multiple, it's pretty small and tight knit, but yeah.
So would you be, it'd be fair to say that it would just be like you were just doing, like, you know, like the, like Dogma, you're just waking up every day, it was the same process, that's how family life was. It was nothing too exciting, nothing extreme, just like
yeah, pretty much. There wasn't you know, I didn't grow up in a, I guess, a dysfunctional home or anything. It was pretty, yeah, it was pretty, I can't really recall it being any sort of like anything like, yeah, like some other people have. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you seeking excitement?
I guess, like, for me at the, I mean, I kind of attach my work, I guess, myself to doing something that's like fulfilling. And I mean, excitement, I guess I probably struggle to express at times, because yeah, like if it's just not there, it's just not there. And I don't know whether that's, if that's from exacerbating endless drinking throughout my 20s, taking it, I don't know whether it's a combination with antidepressants that kind of just bring you up to a base level, but then you just sort of stay in a gray area where, yeah, like you can not really find much joy in anything. But at least you don't feel down here.
Yeah. Yeah. Why should you be unhappy? You know, life is good. That's what we hear all the time. You're not like, you know, them down the road or here or there, but it's like, I believe you would have this inner knowing that you're here for a bigger purpose, right? You feel that.
Yeah.
So was it either your mum or dad that maybe told you that they wanted to do more, but they didn't, or were they too afraid of something?
I always wonder whether the stuff that they're doing is actually what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the conversations I've had is because they were successful themselves, but I mean, they both have their own creative aspects within some of the things that they do, but obviously their careers don't revolve around that. And I guess if it was put on us, as me, my older brother and younger sister, to sort of pursue what we wanted to pursue, like they wanted the best for their kids, and then, I don't know whether, if I was like, okay, can I really do whatever it is I want to do, but I'm not sure, because I guess my parents didn't really, I don't know if my parents actually did that themselves. So
did they actually say that to you, or is it something that you've seen?
It's not, I mean, I know that I had a conversation with mum about, oh, if she was to go back and do it again, would she do the same career that she did? And then she started talking about different areas, and I was like, no, would you still do this profession? Like, and she said, well, like what she was interested in was, essentially she's interested in photography. So like she liked nature photography, National Geographic. It's like, so would you go do that? And she's like, oh, there isn't a lot of money in that, and there's not a lot of jobs in that. So that's kind of where the, I was like, okay. So then, and I guess I've been finding that even with like applying for work in my background's graphic design, applying for jobs, not really getting anywhere, and then looking like there's like hundreds of applications for each job that I'm going for. It's just like, oh, well, that's a bit, it's a bit stiff.
Yeah. I mean, if we think back at the demographic back in the day, I think that was, we can say it was relatively normal. That's just how, I mean, they didn't have this digital age where everything is at our fingertips, right? So what do you think, you know, they've been together a long time and it's very rare that you have, I meet someone whose parents are still together.
Yeah.
So do you think that they, were they always in love or was it just out of convenience? If you were to, you know, quick answer.
I don't know whether they were very, I guess, affectionate. I don't know whether I saw much in a way of like what I guess a loving, affectionate relationship would be. It could be, they obviously work very hard. I don't know how much, but there could have been stuff that I just didn't see. You know, if they're just, when they're with us, raising us kids, they're in parent mode. And then if they, when they're with each other, then they kept it with each other because it wasn't really something that I saw much of presented in front of me. So I don't know whether that in turn is what I've taken to then how I've gone out with dating, that maybe I'm not as expressive about it.
Well, look, and you can see where I'm going with this, right? There's you know, all the things, like just because someone's story is that they, you know, were in the war and they had no family and they had to like run away from like being shot and killed, and we think, oh my God, well, I didn't go through that, so I shouldn't be so upset about myself for this. But our experience and perception of life is based on our own experiences. We can't compare. And all we do, like anything, is we compare our own experiences and our own traumas to someone else's and think they're not good enough, right? So you've now propagated a fucking podcast that's doing really well and all these cool interactive videos on your Instagram, you know, like I watch and I'm like, fuck, you're so witty and so quick, right? Like, That's the thing that you love doing. But maybe right now it's not making you as much money as you want. And that, again, I've had to give up my, you know, I was managing gyms for so long and, you know, working so many hours per week. And then COVID came and it was a bit of a blessing in disguise because we're all forced to leave the workforce and go on the dole essentially.
Yeah.
And you go, cool, what do I do with life? And then we go to, well, what's my passion? And then when we were able to escape and be free, I was like, I'm going to jump into it. But I've had, it's just been like that, right? So maybe there are ways that we can mitigate a life that's still got purpose. It's like if someone loves to paint, but they work 9 to 5, as long as they're still painting, they're getting their outlet. So you are in a present state of recognition and being proud of yourself. And there's a lot obviously we'd go back further, but just, you know, straight up, you're just, there's this external. It's just external. Got to bring it back to the heart and bring it back to you. Because you've made waves. Like, this is cool. I've seen you, you know, interview a lot of cool people. And I know we're talking about you at the moment, but this is, you know, the job at hand is actually where most people would be at, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see a lot of people following their passion. And you are, and then you still think there should be more, right? So then we go, cool. All right. We start with being present.
Yeah.
And then we workshop that. But essentially that's what I would do. We'd go through, I mean, that was very brief. But that's the angle that I go down. And I call it the golden nugget. So, you know, and the golden nugget sounds real fucking, you know, nice. But sometimes it's not. It's like, holy shit, that is fucked. And we found it and then we work on that. And then when we work on the source, it's like getting a scissor and we cut the attachment to that golden nugget. And it's not like we erase it, but we go, cool, I know what that used to do to me and I'm aware of it. And then when we find that, we can move forward. And we can start to create and manifest and move all the things. And that's where it becomes really fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, we're human. We're not robots. You're going to have moments of, you know, but that's just where you got to be present and go, the noose is not tight. I'm going to go, all right, Ree, you're fucked up. Let's move forward. You're all good.
Because I think, I mean, you mentioned about, I mean, obviously, yeah, like the comparison, which I probably alluded to in a lot of that, was like, well, it wasn't as bad as what I've heard from other people. And it's, I think I heard an analogy just like, oh, you know, you can either, you could drown in a swimming pool and you can drown in the ocean. You're still drowning.
Absolutely.
Because I think I was thinking about before, like some things, I guess, from that I recall from, I guess, growing up, where if people said some things that maybe bothered me or felt like I was disrespected, I didn't really ever bother voicing it. I guess if I'd learned that, oh, what's the point? Like, just fucking try and just get over it. But then I realized that, well, you don't really get over it. You hold on to it. Like, and then you just carry it with you.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, if you express it, it's just, you're expressing it to just let it out and just let it go.
Yeah.
Because it's better than that's what I've, I guess, started to learn. Just like, well, no, you, because I've had that with a few things recently, and I was, yeah, just, you're just like, oh, do I have to have this conversation? Oh, well, I could just try and forget about it. And then I don't forget about it because I'm trying to forget about it, yeah. And it's still there, just like, no, 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 no. And then you're just like, well, then just have the conversation, but have it in a manner that you don't have to just yell at the person, or just, you know, just like, hey, you said some stuff like this, and this is how it made me feel. And I guess even like with, I guess, being blokes, being men, just mm-hmm. like, oh, talking about your feelings now, eh? Oh, here yeah. we go. You know, so.
That's another tangent, right? Shit, man. Yeah, look, I do feel for men in that space because, you know, women are highly emotional beings, and we're allowed to be, should I say, in inverted commas, but everyone's allowed to be fucking emotional and step into their space, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, I said this to someone, we all have a perception. Now, you might think that I'm really attractive, but your mate Jim could think that I'm a two, right? Mm. You're both looking at the same person, yet your brain's going, no, I like that and I like that.
Mm.
But what no one has any a perception of is my heart, right? Mm. So, of course, if I'm doing stuff and doing an act that is not congruent with my heart and, you know, misleading or trying to hurt someone, well, of course, I'm going to be ugly. But if I'm always leading with love, and this is what I say, lead with love as long as your intention is good. If your intention is good and it's not perceived the way you wanted it to, that is on them, not on you, right? Always. So no smokes and mirrors here.
Yeah.
My heart's a 10 out of 10, hands down. Regardless of what anyone says, no one can give me an opinion of my heart. You're not in my body.
Yeah.
You can give me an opinion on the external because I might, you know, whatever, that's up to you. And I don't care what your opinion is of my external because this drives me. This gets me. So this is why this is the source on the remote, the source button that we always have to come back to. And it's okay when we have a reaction. I go home and I think about all the little conversations I had. And in my head, maybe there was a quick knee-jerk reaction of like, oh, my ego was bruised then. And then I go, relax, like fucking chill, right? Everyone's got shit going on. So, you know, and then I go home and I digress then. I go, okay, cool. That's where it came from, right? So people aren't doing that enough.
Yeah.
So I would say this to you is always, whatever your intention is, as long as you're doing it with a great purpose and, hey, this is your intention was great, but you were looking for fireworks and you never get them. And you know what? You're never going to get fireworks and you got to accept that, right? Because the love, as we know, love is calm. Love is so beautiful, like tranquil. And people get into a relationship and everything is connected. People get into a relationship and they're love bombed. Oh my God, I'm fucking so into this person. I'm obsessed, right? And so they do. Yeah. My God, oh, la, 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 sex is insane. And there are going to be moments if I'm in an intimate space with someone, of course, my hormones are running wild. So there's going to be bursts of passion and intensity. But if I'm in love, like love is tranquil. So everything's calm, goes to business too. You're going to have a moment where someone replies to you and they're like, holy shit, I listened to your podcast today and you've changed my world, right? So a little bit of a, boom, it's like a little party popper. Yeah. And then we go back into calm. We can't have this heightened space. And we're always seeking this something that goes, boom, tell me, right? And again, like it's sometimes easier said than done. Like I just think I said on my story yesterday, you know, I've been single over 6 years and the love coach per se, the Cupid, I was getting a coffee the other day and a lady was like, hey, you're the girl that runs the events. And I get that often, right? And I go, yeah, shit, I am. And yet the girl that's the matchmaker, she was saying that sometimes she's scared of love. She's scared of the woman she's going to be when she meets a king.
Yeah.
Right? See how I own that. It doesn't mean I'm sitting there debilitated every day and I don't want it. I want it.
Yeah.
But I'm also allowed to be scared of it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know whether girls do it, but I know guys do it like, oh, she's an 8, she's a 7, she's a...
Yeah.
Which to me, it's just, okay, is it anything beyond just how she looks?
Fuck. It takes me back to high school. Yeah. And I remember I was in a boy and girl school. Sorry if I interject, but it just reminded me. And you'd have the boxes. Is she my 1 to 10? And the boys would do that. And we were like living off, oh, my God, she thinks she's prettier than me. I remember one of my best friends in high school. I didn't want to go out with her because I thought she was prettier than me. And it made me feel insecure.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man? This is what we're dealing with, especially with social media, right? Yeah. Again, how do we learn to live in a space, a digital age where we're going to be thrown with this stuff at us and we just got to, you know, we've got to swim and people are getting lost and drowning in all the things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because that was, because, I mean, we were like, people, like, yeah, they're rating someone out of 10. And it's like, well, if it's, I mean, there's so many components of a person that, you know, you would want to find attractive besides, you know, physical appearance. I mean, I can even say, like, for yourself, like, because, you know, an attractive quality of yours that I is, because you mentioned that you had red hair, you had long red hair when I first encountered you, and you cut it off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a, it was for Shave for Cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So
yeah.
I think that's a pretty high quality thing to do. Thank especially because, I mean, yeah, for a lot of women, I mean, conversations we have where they cut a little bit of their hair off and then they flip out and then they put extensions back in and then, but yeah, like you took the hair off and then you just own this new look that looks great on you. So it's a great thing.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate that. And funnily enough, I just got goosebumps. It's a powerful thing, right? You know, there was two reasons why I did it. A friend of mine at the time had cancer, and I was like, shit, like, how do we show love in a space that's courage? And you're doing this thing, and it's crazy that I'm worrying about maybe I ate too much chocolate last night. Yeah. Like, fuck, right? Mm. And coaching a lot of women too. We, you know, I would get breakouts at times, and it's easy to cover your, you know, and you have long hair too. So, you know, I'm sure if you had a day, you just don't want to look people to look at your face, you just put your hair down, right?
Yeah.
And there's actually a lot of emotion that we carry in our hair. A lot of emotion. So men wouldn't really understand this because a lot of them have short hair, but if you shaved your head, you would notice a difference, right? So I did the shave for cancer, and oh my God, like 4 days after that, I was depressed, like in a big state. And I'd actually fully broke out with pimples on my face too. And yeah. I was like, who am I? It was a crazy feeling. But now, couldn't imagine having long hair. Like this is, and thank you for saying that I own it, because I really do now. And it's interesting because it's not like, you know, maybe I've lost a little bit of weight over the years and, you know, body's a little tighter, but I can't say anything's just majorly different besides the hair that makes people want to be drawn to me. But when I'm out, women, mostly women, come up to me and they compliment me. And it's like they never did that before.
Yeah.
It's almost just like they feel comfortable now to step in to go, wow, like, because it's a hair thing. You can change your whole appearance with hair. But this is like, I mean, I can change the hair color, but it's like, it's just raw me, right? And yeah, it's a cool thing. And we're seeing it a lot more now, and I love that, you know, just stepping into this place of, I mean, look, I've got fake tits. I'm sure people are like, yeah, but you've got fake titties. You're not real. Calm the fuck down, all right? We're talking about a space of just owning who you are.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and I mean, one thing that, for some people, owning who they are, if they want to do certain procedures as well. I mean, I had a guy on who talked about going and getting hair plugs, which is a thing for guys as well. Like, losing their hair can be quite a troubling thing for them. Obviously, I'm fortunate that hasn't.
Yeah, you got a lot of hair. I've got a lot of hair. Damn, like,
there is a lot of hair there. And
so I see my voodoo doll down here. Yes, yeah. It's got all blonde locks.
A lot of blonde locks. Yeah, and then I've even at times like, because it's been 4 years, I think, since I started growing it, and there's times I'm just like, I could just shave it off. And then, but you just build this attachment to it, and you're just like, oh, well, if you shave it off. I mean, I had this bad sort of try and attempt to do a beard the other day, and I just got rid of it because I just got sick of it.
Yeah.
But then it can be like a freeing thing to just like to completely change how you look, to like, reinvent yourself as well.
Yeah. And look, I want to talk into that space too, in regards to like, you know, getting Botox or any bodily enhancements. You know, it's like getting a new outfit. You know, we've definitely obviously digressed from the shaving head for cancer. Now I'm owning this look, right? But yeah, I get, you know, injectables, and I've had my boobs for a very long time. And in fact, when I got my boobs done, I got them because I was so insecure.
Yeah.
Right. But now I have them and I own them. Like, it's who I am now. Right. Would I get them removed? I'm not too sure, because I love who I am, but I feel good when I get my things done. And when I feel good, I work better.
Yeah.
I do life better. Right. I don't think that I'm overly fake. I just do things that make me feel good. And if you want to have an opinion about me choosing to do this because it's fake, well, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, right? I'm not hurting anyone. Am I hurting someone by having some Botox in my forehead?
Yeah.
Right?
Because, yeah, like the comment, I guess, yeah, like bring it back to the, like, shaving your head for cancer. Like, it was just like, it speaks to, I guess, the type of character you have, that you would be doing that in the, like from a loving space, like you said, like, oh, how can I support people with this thing, you know, or, and then it's sacrifice, because if you've got women have attachment to their hair, a lot of us have attachment to our hair, and it's to give that up for a greater purpose, like, I think that's quite an attractive quality for sure.
Thank you. And I did go on a big tangent then too.
I really
appreciate that. And it is sometimes just stepping out of that space and giving back. And actually you interviewed Trey.
Yeah.
So Trey donated $5,000 to my shave. And I didn't I didn't know who he was. He slid into my DMs about, he was just like, holy shit, anyone. I mean, we know what he's doing now. He's doing big things, man. Yeah, this guy's changed his world and fuck, he's a legend, right? Yeah. But prior to that, I didn't know him. And I was like, who's this guy? Like, what, is this real? And he literally donated $5,000 to me shaving my head. And I'm like, whoa, hell, like, what a good human. Didn't know who this man was. And all these other people stepping in and just going, whoa, like, it's just about this community of bringing people together. And I'm going to bring this back to you. You know, it's about this. So, you know, shave my head, all these things change, but I'm still stressing about money. How I need to make more money, right? Where's my big thing?
Yeah.
So we choose to make a big ripple effect in our life that changes our trajectory. You chose to do that when you gave up alcohol.
Yeah.
You chose to do that when you wanted to create this podcast, right? You're making ripples in the world that most people can't do. You know, it's huge, right? So I had to always bring myself back to the source of going, all right, Ree. And it was when I shaved my head, I think it was leading up to my birthday, and I was calling it the rebirth of Ree. You know, Ree 3.0, right? So the point is, we're putting this momentum on. That's my little party popper moment of going, when I step into that, I'm owning it, right? So we do need to have a clear line of where we're going. That's past will, and this is future, present will and future will, right? So, you know, fear is based on in a present moment, thinking about a past thought attached to a future event that we're thinking about, right? So we need to go, all right, let's, the draw line is right now. In the past, will was like that. Present will has decided to do this really cool thing. Now let's own it. This is really cool. So anytime you start worrying, bring it back to how cool the thing that you're doing right now is. And anytime you want to speak about yourself, it's past tense. So, you know, in the past, we'll do this, because we're taking ourselves out of the present stage and into the past. Like, that's then, it's gone.
Well, I do try to be conscious of, like, the way that, because that person that I was, I mean, to me, it's just a foreign object. It's just like, I can't recognize. I mean, I've got clips on my computer of old fucking videos I used to make, where I just don't recognize who that person is, and it's just a foreign entity for me, and to try and move away from that and step into what I'm doing now, and then move into a direction of an even better version of myself, let's say.
Always. we can't be stagnant. You rest, you rust. It was like I was told that line. Oh, my first boyfriend was in the army, and he told me that line, you rest, you rust. So the moment you stop, the moment you just become, you know, complacent. So we always want to be moving forward. We don't have to be doing anything crazy, but just keep moving, right? So we're always learning, you know. And I think back to when I first started coaching, to the coach that I am now, I'm like, holy shit, I know so much more. But that's just because I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything that I did back then was wrong. I'm better at it now, more efficient. So always evolving.
Always evolving, growing and evolving.
Fuck yeah.
So I guess we can end on talking about, because I guess with love and dating, like, had did you ever have like always a curiosity with the relationships between men and women, or has it just evolved from coaching and then your clients looking for love and like, or maybe there's something in here and you just stepped into it?
I've always had this passion of connection. So from a young age, I've been able to have conversations with young people my age and older people. I was like a chameleon, and I was like, wow, I'm really good at walking into a room and allowing people to feel comfortable. I want to teach that. I want people to feel like that, you know. And then as I got older, we obviously it's all about love. And then I'd find that people are struggling to be comfortable in a space of wanting a connection with people. So for me, I'm like, let's just have fun with life. You know, that's why I started with the events. I'm like, because it's a fun event where we can go and just, we find love, but we're also having fun and we're meeting people and connecting.
Mm.
So I've just kind of done it in a way that seems fun for me.
Yeah.
But my passion, I mean, my purpose for life is love. Based through connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, love, not just with lovers, you know, a partner, but love with friends and love with family and life in general.
Mm.
People take life too seriously. And I'm like, man, let's just have fun. Let's have fun with life.
Mm. And it could be something that I think has been probably lost a bit, I guess, like even just community aspect, because, I mean, we've become a lot more digital, a lot more stuff is online. And even like most people seem to be meeting online now, as opposed to even in just walking around in real life. We're more like, oh, well, we can't go up and talk to people in public because that could come off, you know, in a certain way. So, you know, you gotta fucking swipe them on an app until you finally hopefully might match with them at some point.
Yeah, and look, it's a tough state. You know, I'm trying to give the best answer to this because you know, there are ways of having a conversation with someone. And I feel like, you know, the intention always just has to be out of, you know, an inquisitive nature. I'm curious about you.
Mm.
You seem interesting, right? You know, wow, I noticed, you know, when it's something that's moving away from, I want to get into your pants, you know, and that's where, you know, I said, I don't need any pants. Hey, how you doing? You know, like a lot of people can come across creepy because they're basing their interaction off, you know, and men think with their dicks is where, you know, there's a little, that little picture of the heart here is on the woman and it's there on the man, you know, full of testosterone. So if men can't control themselves, they're leading with their dick and it comes across as creepy.
Yeah.
Instead of learning how to tap into their heart space and go, hey, how can I have this conversation with a woman that's just normal?
Mm.
Because when, like we said, women want to, and men, we want to be seen and we want to be heard.
Mm.
So we go, cool, all right, if two things, someone wants to be seen and heard, but let's go heard because, well, you're seeing me right now. Well, seen for who you are, not based on that. And that's the external. So, you know, my advice to anyone out there that's looking and wanting to connect or having a conversation with someone or meet someone, how can you allow them to be seen and heard in a very neutral way. Jimmy Neutron, that's what I always say. Like, remember that cartoon Jimmy Neutron?
Yeah,
right? So in a neutral way, seen and heard. And that's where you start.
I mean, like the stuff that I've been making content for myself recently, a lot of it's just critiquing some questionable dating advice on the internet, which has seemed to have resonated well with my, and it was really just because it was the content I used to consume and thought, oh, is this how it goes? And then I'd start thinking, is it? And then I'd go out into the real world and then interact with women. And I just, all right, let's just let go of any expectations and just interact.
Mm.
And I wasn't experiencing, I guess, what's been described, which is a lot of, I mean, so I think just so much of it online is just, it's just negative.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was thinking about, there's always seems to be more focus. I mean, there's always more focus on red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, well, is it because like with green flags in people, they're usually pretty similar, like a good like green flags in a person for the most part is a lot of similar kind of traits, that then people's red flags can be just fucking any fucking different, all different things. And then it's always like, well, what are your red flags? It's focusing on that instead of focusing on, well, what's a person's green flags instead.
It's so the massive tangent. It's like, when, you know, they bring out a new diet pill and it's all, or it's summer's leading up and all you see on the news is the best diet pill is this. This is the best diet to do. You know what I mean? Like, people focus on the thing that people want.
Yeah.
So if you go, there's red flags and you people go, oh, I must have a red flag. How do I work on that? Yeah, you got a red flag. Everyone's got red and green flags.
Yeah.
If we're going to use the term red and green flags, like, it's like in everything good, there's bad.
Yeah.
And in everything bad, there's good, right? So It's like, and there are some things that are alarming that need to be addressed, but people have just grabbed that by the fucking bull by the horns and just ran with it, right?
Yeah.
So I want to say this too. Now, you get a lot of engagement when you talk into that shit. So digital age. Now, I had this conversation with someone because if you go to my Instagram, you'll see that, you know, I'm doing heaps of fitness stuff in my stories, but I'm posting butt pics, you know, half naked photos, and that gets me most interaction. So this is what happens, right? So we do a video. And then we go, or post a picture, and then it comes up, and you're like, I want to learn about that. And they click on the page, and they're like, oh, okay, well, she's doing this, she's doing that. And then it moves into this thing, but it's all we're doing is this alarm that goes, hey, So you're doing that too. And there's a lot, you know, you do some videos on that, brings them in, but you got all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
And now these real conversations with people based on true facts and true, like, fucking juiciness, right? Yeah. So there's nothing bad about it. You're literally just feeding the thing that's getting you the thing. And that's okay. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've kind of said just like, yeah, maybe I'm probably now starting to milk it a bit. I mean, if it didn't work, then I'd go to the butt pics myself, but I don't know how that will.
Well, you know, worst case scenario gets a good mirror in here and
get a good mirror.
I'll teach you the little flick. It's fine.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do a photo shoot after. But
all right.
Yeah, because I noticed when I used to be on dating apps, I usually used to use Hinge. I thought Hinge had a bit of character to it with like the prompts and stuff, but the amount of times that I'd see women and they'd, you know, it'd be the green flags I look for prompt, and they'd always put, I only see red. They'd always talk about red flag, and I was like, well, that's a red flag to me, because
that's a trauma-based response right there. I'm going to coach you on that too.
So every time I saw that, it's like, this could be a nice person, but just to put that, and it, to me, it was like, I see you're not really taking responsibility for who you're choosing to allow. Well, that could be my assumption, but I always just found that a bit interesting, because then you meet, everything's great about you. What are your red flags? Like, they're just looking for something.
Yeah. This is too good to be true. Yeah, what's going on here?
There's got to be something wrong with you. It's just like, yes.
I don't know. Well, I say these two beautiful words, or three. Perception is projection.
Mm.
So all we're doing, our perception on anything ever, is a projection on ourselves. So if we're looking at someone and going, oh my god, like, what the why are you doing that for, in our mind we're probably jealous that they've had the courage to do that, and we're going, oh yeah, you're an idiot for doing that. Right, so that's why, again, it's like water off a duck's back for me most times, is that I go, all right, well, you're projecting your shit onto me, I didn't even want to deal with that right now. That's your issue, not mine. Cool, let's move on, right? Not addressing it, it's all good. So when I see things like that, I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Good for you. You're doing good, sweetie. You're doing good.
See how it's working, I mean, that could be even, I had a video, a TikTok, I think, on this podcast page, which seemed to get some traction, had some comments from people. I think I was just talking about, you know, getting asked if I was ever going to drink again. And I just kind of said I didn't really see the point and kind of went into that. And then people were like, agreeing with me. But then there's people just like, oh, you fucking sober prick preaching off your fucking soapbox about how great sobriety is. And yeah, you just kind of like, well, if it touched a nerve, but I guess if it really bothered by it, you just gone, oh, whatever. It's not, this isn't for me. Like,
and at this, you're still moving through that space, right? So it's normal. You're not, that's actually a really good standpoint for you to go, cool, why is that affecting me momentarily? Let's workshop that, right? So ask yourself that question all the time. Why is it affecting me? And then, so funny you say that. TikTok for me just blew up a little while ago, and I did this video and short hair. So, you know, obviously I shaved for cancer. Most people are like, wow, that's awesome. And all of a sudden I'm getting like bam, hit after hit saying I look like Justin Bieber. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. You know, like, you know, they don't know my backstory. So I was just, and in fact, I was just kind of going with the joke, right? But maybe Aldrey, I would have been like, oh my God, do I need a wig? Do I look like a boy? I don't give a fuck. You think I look like Justin Bieber? Good for me, man. Where's my, you know, can I have his money as well? Like, fucking endorsement on, you know, Justin Bieber. Jesus.
Well, the other thing for me, I guess, with the content I'm doing for myself is, I guess, the comments I get mostly from men calling me all sorts of like different beta, simp, cuck, those sorts of things. Oh, you're a fuckwit, pandering to women with this sort of stuff. And like the content, never crossed my mind that I was doing it to support women. It was just like, I think this stuff is stupid and here's my voice in it.
Fucking oak. Well, you know, like there are masses of both men and women that are in that space of like, yeah, you know, men are shit, women are shit, they're all sluts, men are all dickheads and red flags. Yeah. So there's obviously going to be that band of group. We're just going to go, cool, they're going to comment, all good, man. Hey, thanks for bringing up my engagement.
Yeah, engagement.
You know,
we're
all sweet. You know, keep them coming.
Because sometimes, oh, you should get rid of these comments. It's just, I mean, like the notifications just keep going. I miss a lot of them, and then I mean, I always feel weird about saying that because it's, oh, Mr. Popular.
Yeah.
Just like,
nah, man. Fucking oath. Well, obviously, it was a good podcast or a good bloody post if you're getting it. So, yeah, man.
I guess for me now, it's just like, okay, well, what can I do with this? It's just like, all right, I've got this thing. What do I do with it? I mean, like, I talk to my family. They're just like, well, yeah, if you can monetize it somehow, do it, because they've got no idea. So I'm just like, oh, fuck. Well, how do I do that? I don't know.
You know, yeah, look, everyone, I mean, I will monetize maybe just on views. So that's how you can look at it. Maybe not off the comments. I don't know if someone out there listens to this, maybe you have an idea.
It's like with modern blind dating. So is the process, how do you work out? I mean, I don't know why I just thought of Married at First Sight, but it's just like, all right, here's a person. You just find people, just sign up, and then you just think, is it just like, oh, let's give these two a go? Or is there like, oh, look, this, I don't know if these two would link up well. I'm sure there's a process, wouldn't there?
Yeah, and you know what? Yes, there's definitely a process. Like I said, I do profile you. So if you sign up, there's a questionnaire you fill out, and then I give you a call. And, you know, I'm matching you based on areas from both spaces, you know, internal and external. But this is what I said the other day. This is why I fucking love it, right? In fact, I was sent on a blind date, and it was interesting because we often want to be matched up with someone based on, and we all go, it's the heart, but yes, it's definitely external straight away. Most, and then, you know, it grows to the other things, right? So all we're doing, and I'm, you know, with modern blind dating, is we're taking the pressure off you. So let's just say it didn't work out, you know, and that's okay. You put yourself out there and, you know, you got a 50-50 chance. And it didn't work out. You go, cool, well, that's not on me. That was, you know, I did not, you know, that they weren't my type, or I chose the experience, but I didn't essentially choose them.
Yeah.
So then you go, well, the pressure's taken away. Because oftentimes you go, oh yeah, I'm not going to go on a date with that person because it might not work out. And then we're already setting ourselves up for failure because we're not doing it. So now I'm the middleman to the love. And I go, cool, let me work, you know, what I'm, you know, quite good at, really good at. Don't be modestry. Because I love this connection, but they're not always successful. You know, I've had people go on a first date, hey, Ree, had a really good time, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And they're like, thank you. And then I've had ones that have gone on multiple dates afterwards, right? So it's just a different approach, knowing that you've got someone that is, you know, fulfilling a space of based off compatibility. You know, there are obviously the TV shows have it exacerbated, and you know, when we can't help it in our human in its human experiences, we're often looking at an external. I don't want that because of that. So if you rock up to a date and you sat down and you're like, well, I'm here for the next hour, I'm gonna be here, and then that's your opportunity to step in and go, hey, like, this is me, this is who I am, show that vulnerable side. Which I know a lot of people out there want to do it. That's why they try to hit people on Instagram, or, you know, try to like, hey, just see me, don't look at my followers, because people do that too. You know, or again, we can't help it. We've got to, the digital age, we've got to live in it, and we've got to fucking just mitigate our lives in it, right? We can't just go live under a rock and expect to do shit, especially when you're wanting success in your space, right? So this is all I'm doing. How do we just, you know, put people in a circumstance that goes, hey, this is me, and if it works out, fuck yeah, and if not, I tried it and it didn't work out.
I mean, especially in the digital age, I think we have the illusion that we have there's a plethora of options to sort of think, okay, we don't, beforehand, I guess my parents' generation, you just had whoever was around you, basically. Now you've got the access to the internet. Oh, well, now I'm potentially connected to the rest of the world now, which has its ups and downs. And then I know with some people, if they're always like, oh, well, this person's okay, but, you know, oh, maybe I could get that person, could be a bit better, that person could be even better. Like, if there's just too many, I've found if there was like decision fatigue, in a sense, if there's too many, you've got too many options, and then you don't end up with anybody. And then I think that's what I was just thinking about was, talking about committing to the experience and not really like an outcome of it going well. So that could be even in the sense of, what I've seen advice with, even just asking someone out on a date, is just like, commit to just asking them out. You don't commit to getting the phone number. You don't commit to getting the date. You don't you focus on just doing it, because then it's just like, oh, well, that was all I wanted to do. Well, I just wanted to express my interest. Would you like to go out sometime? And yeah, whatever happens,
what's
happens.
The worst that can happen? They say no.
They batter you over the head. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Why is my liver gone? What the fuck? Wake up in a bathtub.
Yeah. And I guess, because, I mean, there's people who are like, I mean, for me, I'd be like, oh, you know, going dating online, like, I'd rather meet people in person, but then, you know, meeting people in person, it's very easy to just be in your own bubble, just doing your own thing.
Yeah, look, like I said, it always comes back down to the source. So, you know, I'm, you know, that's why I facilitate two businesses, right? So, you know, I do couple coaching, I do, you know, individual coaching. Actually, I'm always coaching the individual for the couple. So there are, you know, in the space of dating as well, we always need to go, cool, am I happy? Am I trying to find fulfillment based off a void? Is that person going to fix me? Because if it is, it ain't going to work. Or it will for only like momentarily, and then something else will come up, right? Yeah. So yeah, again, I'm just like, how do we bring it all together? Here is an opportunity, and if you meet someone, you're faced with some things about yourself. Now step into that and let's do these things, because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. You know, well, that's why we're here. I mean, doing the dating is love and relationship, right?
Yeah, and I think a good and even a helpful way to really step into that would be if you go on a date and you both go sober. So you're not masking yourself with anything.
Yeah,
you like, really step into all experiencing everything.
Yeah, and you know, like a good, there's tiers of dating, right? You know, you can go on a coffee date, very casual, and you're getting to know one another. Go do an adventure, you know, like axe throwing or something like that, where it's a little bit competitive.
I was
waiting
for you to say axe throwing because I know that's
it's my jam.
That's your jam, yeah.
I do love it. You know, because it's a fun space, right? We're like, cool, and I'm competitive as fuck. So I'm like, well, if, you know, are you going to show me how athletic you are right now? Like, you know, step in. No, I'm joking. But, you know, it's just a different space, right?
Yeah.
And if you do drink, you know, you can follow that after with, you know, let's from here we can go to there, right? Essentially with my, you know, if say you signed up, you obviously don't drink. And if you wanted someone who also didn't drink, or maybe they did, but you'd go, I prefer to be in a setting where there's no alcohol, then I would mitigate the date based off that. But at the moment, most people, I haven't had anyone like yourself who doesn't drink. So it's just been the restaurant.
Yeah.
There's many spaces in there that you can work with.
Yeah. Well, I guess like for me, my sobriety is, for me, it's my journey, my responsibility. So the way I look at it, it's like I would rather get comfortable around people drinking than having to kind of dictate to someone else that, well, you can't drink around me, that sort of thing. Like if I was, obviously if I was someone who didn't drink, it's like, oh, well, that's handy. That's easy. That makes it easier. But then if I'm with someone who does, but I mean, it just depends. It obviously just depends on how much they drink. If you're out at the club every weekend, it's like, look, okay, that's probably not going to be for me. So
100%. That comes down to values, right? Yeah. We need to know our own personal values and then relationship values. You know, they'll be very similar. You know, I'm a fit orientated person, so I'd like someone to look after their health in some way. You know, you wouldn't go, you know, comparing eggs to apples, you know what I mean? Like, you want to compare apples to apples. Like, it's some form of similarity in that space, right? So, yeah, again, if I'm matching you up, I wouldn't match you up with a full, I don't want to get any full-blown alcohol, but someone who parties all the time, right? Yeah. You know, so that's okay, right? That's what you want.
Yeah, I kind of leaned into, like, fitness oriented areas more so because I kind of thought, well, people who are probably health conscious, focus on active lifestyles, they're probably going to be more inclined to drink less, was my kind of prediction, because if they're focusing on their health, they're going to be more on that. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean they don't drink at all, but it's not going to be like a high priority and a high thing in their life, which, you know, I guess for me, for a long time, the people I was around with, like personalities was just all liquored up, basically all the people I was around. And then to find new people in these new different communities around where, most of them, especially like people like a lot younger than me who were just like, we don't drink that much and don't really enjoy it. It's just like, fuck, I wish I was like you.
Right. It's, and you're right. You've chosen the place, the space where it'd be like, I would assume that. And I know a lot of people in that space who also go really hard too, so but that's the right angle. But at the same time, you're helping yourself.
You know
how good do you feel after you've done a workout?
So
many things going on in your body after that, like we all know the endorphin release, but all the other things. And you're working on your aesthetics. Might look good, feel good.
Look good, feel good.
Fuck
absolutely. I mean, got those butt pics, don't you know, take themselves.
Well, that's exactly right. We've got the camera set up down here.
We'll get to that right after this.
I'm excited.
Excited, yeah. So thank you for coming on today, Ree.
It's my pleasure.
A lovely little chat. You know, when I chatted with Frankie, she said that, you know, she loves a D&M. A D&M, deep and meaningful conversation. And we're doing this not around a glass table at 3 o'clock in the morning after a big night out in the town.
That's it. We're just doing it with lots of caffeine on my behalf.
Lots of caffeine and then some, you know, bottled water from the barbershop down the road.
That's it.
Which I go to get coffee, not to get a haircut, obviously. let's just ask one last question. It's one we usually end with. What's the best piece of advice that you've received?
I remember this when I was really young, and it was actually by my mum. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And it's so simple. Mm. So I've always led with that. Well, I'm never going to treat anyone a way that I don't want to be treated. Mm. Yeah, and that's stuck with me for my whole life.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Ray. It's been a lovely little chat.
Thank you, legend. Let's go do some butt pics.
Off we go to take some lovely, sexy butt pics. This is the Last Drinks Podcast. I'm Will Hitchens, and we'll see you in the next one.